listening to Law and Gospel on this Friday, March the 8th, in the year of our Lord 2024. I'm Pastor Tom Baker, and on Fridays we take a look at emails. This is from Michael Brown. You know, when we talk about Jesus, we don't call him a prider. Prider, what would that mean? Well, what is a pride? It is a group of lions. No, Jesus never is referred to as a prider in the Bible, namely a leader of lions. He instead is referred to as a shepherd, a leader of sheep. Why is that significant for us from a law and gospel point of view? Well, how smart are sheep? Have you ever seen sheep perform in a show? We've seen trained elephants, trained tigers, trained dogs, and trained lions. But trained sheep? Nope. Does anyone teach their sheep to sit, roll over, fetch, or play dead? Now, you may have an owner of a dog who wants to brag about what the dog will do simply at the command of the master. Lie down, sit, play dead. And the dog does that. You say that to a sheep, it doesn't matter how long you try and train them. No, they won't do those things. Now, there's no doubt that, as one website claims, despite the popular belief that sheep are stupid, they are actually incredibly intelligent. They have very impressive cognitive ability. And just like humans, they form deep and lasting bonds with each other. They stick up for one another in fights, and they grieve when they lose a friend. They experience all of the same emotions that human beings do, including fear, joy, boredom, anger, and happiness, to name a few. The website also notes that in addition to being incredibly smart, they also have wonderful memories. They can remember approximately 50 individuals, sheep and human, for years at a time. That is to say, when they have a shepherd who calls out to them and they learn that shepherd to be their master, they can be away from that shepherd for 40 years and still recognize his voice. More realistically, another site notes that a sheep is about as intelligent as a cow or other farm animals that have not got complex survival skills. They can navigate their surrounding using cognition, but they're not considered to be very smart. Didn't you ever hear a parent say, "My child is as smart as a cow"? No, they don't say that. Now, the website also continues about sheep. Sheep are not intelligent animals like wolves or dolphins. That is because they are overly reliant on shepherds. And this is what Michael Brown is talking about in this email. The sheep know the voice of the shepherd. That's how they rely. They are not overly reliant on shepherds. They are entirely reliant. A sheep cannot kill a predator with their vicious bite and massive teeth because they have neither. They cannot tear a predator apart with sharp claws, which they also do not have. So they regard their shepherd to keep them from danger. He is the one who defends them, and he can lead them to green pastures and still waters. That's Psalm 23. Why is he the one leading them to green pastures? Because he knows where they are, and they need green pastures to be able to eat and survive. And why still waters? You don't want to take sheep to drink at a river that's running very fast, because as they step into the river, their wool will become heavy with water and they will drown. That is why they follow a shepherd who leads them to green pastures and still waters. All they have to do is follow his voice. Their ears are trained to recognize and ignore the voice of an impostor. Remember what Jesus said, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, he is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep and leads them out. When he has brought them out all on his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But sheep will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. That passage is found in John chapter 10, verses 1 to 5. Boy, King David was a great example of protecting the sheep against bears and vicious wolves and even lions. And that's why the Bible talks about Jesus as a shepherd taking care of his sheep. He was talking about his own flock and about himself, the shepherd of that flock. John chapter 10, verses 11 to 15. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not. Does the shepherd, because the hired hand does not own the sheep. So when the hired hand sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks a flock and scatters it. The hired man runs away because he's a hired hand, cares nothing for the sheep. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. What a shepherd! No wonder he is not only called the Good Shepherd, but in Hebrews 13, verse 20, he's called the Great Shepherd of the sheep. You know, very often, we Christians are faced with a challenging situation. What do we do in prayer? We remind the Lord our shepherd. I'm just a dumb sheep. I don't know anything. You're the shepherd. Speak to me, and I will follow. I'm your sheep. I hear your voice. So speak, Lord, and I'll joyfully obey. I just need you to show me the way. Now, when did we learn to listen to the voice of Jesus? Is it because we obey the command of the Father on the Mount of Transfiguration when he said, listen to him? And so we get the idea, boy, if I listen to Jesus and obey him, then I'll merit my way into heaven. But we don't merit anything, especially heaven. We rather inherit heaven. And we inherit heaven because the Holy Spirit has given us the voice of the shepherd, and we recognize him. You're the shepherd, Jesus. Speak to me, and I will follow. I'm your sheep, for I hear your voice. So speak, Lord, and I'll joyfully obey. Just show me the way. This is in stark contrast to listening to false teachers and the father of all lies, the devil. How could Adam and Eve believe the devil when he said, if you eat from the knowledge of the tree of good and evil, you will be like God? When God says no, you will die. See, that's the basis of all sin. We love to obey the devil because when he lies, he gives us an opportunity to have a better life, we think. So, of course, we're going to fall into his temptations. Falling into his temptations, we imagine we're going to be a lot better off, when in reality, we're not. In the same spirit, when faced with tremendous pressure in the midst of what Jesus wants us to do in our ministry, whether pastor or lay people, be it financial pressure or the need for wisdom, for impossible doors to open, the Christian will throw it all on the back of the Lord. And that's what happened on the cross. What was thrown on the shoulders of the Lord and on his back? Our sins. He died in order that our sins would be forgiven. Was this the idea of a Christian? No. None of the ideas in Christianity come from the free will of human beings. This was your idea, Lord, not mine. This is your work. This is about your name. This is about your plan for my salvation. This is for your glory. And so we now realize, as sheep of the shepherd Jesus, that he is the author and finisher of my faith. He is the power and the wisdom and all the riches, all the benefits I get are from him. So I'm asking you to back not my work, but to back your work, because the Christian faith is all about you, not me. Even if the Lord has given you a tremendous gift, be it a gift of prophecy, or a gift of singing, or songwriting, or a gift of wisdom, or counseling, or a gift of preaching as a pastor, or teaching as a Sunday school teacher, or a parent. It is his gift, not yours. In 1983, Leonard Roberville pointed out in a sermon, you know, Samson was not some massive, towering hulk of a man whom God blessed with a little added strength. On the contrary, the Philistines were constantly trying to figure out what the secret of his strength was. See Judges 16. Had he been a 7-foot-tall giant with arms of steel and legs like tree trunks, they would not have been in a mystery at all. For all that we know, he might have been 5 feet tall, skinning, and weighing 100 pounds when soaking wet. So how did he have such strength? He got it from God. That's why Paul wrote to the Corinthians, who were greatly impressed by outward appearance and looked for super leaders. Paul says, who after all is Apollos? Who is Paul? They're both only servants, servants of Jesus Christ, through whom you came to believe, because the Lord assigned that to each his task. Paul says, all I did was plant some seed. Apollos watered it, but God made it to grow. So neither the one who planted or the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. That's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 to 7. And then Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. That's why a congregation should not be so upset when their pastor takes a call or leaves them, because they are not kept alone. They are still kept with their shepherd, Jesus Christ, who leads them into worship, who leads them in Bible study, who leads them in the calling of a suitable pastor, who can bring God's gifts to them again. It's interesting to note in the book of Isaiah that Jesus is not described as a beautiful person who is tall and mighty looking when people see him. No, he just has a plain appearance, and there's nothing in Jesus that would make you think, wow, this is God himself. What helps us to realize that he is God is his message. All of this brings us back to the fact that we are just dumb sheep. We're dumb compared to the wisdom and knowledge of God. And we're dumb compared to the idea that we can face the challenges of the world all on our own. Just look at those who think they can. Well, they may have some wisdom, but the kind of wisdom and experience and true knowledge that can only come through the Word of God. And that's why every sermon needs to end on a note of tremendous comfort. You and I, as Christians, we don't need to know every detail of the future. I don't need to be aware of all the devil's plans for the next 50 years. I don't need to know which pastor will be next when we're out of green grass here. I just need to stay close to the shepherd and respond to his voice, no matter how ridiculous it sounds. My sins are forgiven. I'm no longer held accountable for sin. That's a tremendous message. But God reveals it to us because he is the one who has everything under his control. He protects us from every predator, and he will lead us into green pastures and cause us to drink from still waters. Knowing the shepherd and following his voice, we are secure, totally, for all our boast is in him. Are you having a problem with your children that they seem to be going the wrong way in life? How do you bring them back? Not with your advice, but with the advice of the shepherd. And that's why it's so important that parents teach their children Luther's Small Catechism. Because in that catechism are words from Jesus. You ought not be surprised that every word of the catechism, the commandments, the Creed, the Lord's Prayer, baptism, the Lord's Supper, and also correction and righteousness, proper discipline. All of those words are right from the Bible. That is listening to Jesus, as the disciples were told on the Mount of Transfiguration. And so while they wanted to stay on the Mount and even build worship places for Jesus, Moses, and Elijah, they instead listened to him, went down from the mountain, went to the temple of the Lord, and preached Christ crucified, Christ incarnate, Christ resurrected, and Christ ascended. And those revealed truths gave comfort to those listening and believing them. For salvation is now not on the basis of the law and our obedience to doing good works. Our salvation is based on obedience to the voice of Jesus, listening to him and finding comfort in all things. That good news will continue on Monday with Law and Gospel. Practice it by listening to the Bible. God bless you.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday morning at 9:30 on KFUO. For a tax-deductible gift to Law and Gospel, please make your check out to Law and Gospel and mail to Law and Gospel, P.O. Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132, or call toll-free 1-877-267-1962.
Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.